Welcome to Revival from the Bible, a daily devotional podcast designed to help more people get into God's Word and get more out of the Word. I'm Ben Blakey. Today's passage is 1 Samuel 25 through 27. Can you really trust God? Oh, wow, that is such an important question. I mean, it's an important question just even at a theological, intellectual level. Is it possible to trust God? Is he trustworthy? Is he in control? Is he wise? Is he good? But more what I want to help you see today is that a practical question? And it is. Whether or not you can trust God is going to make a great difference in how you deal with the difficult situations of life and the hardest relationships of life. And I want you to see that so clearly from 1 Samuel 25 through 27. And it's one of the themes we're seeing through this story of David versus King Saul. David is a character who is going to trust God, not perfectly, and we'll see some of that today, but overall, he is trusting God. King Saul is someone who is not. He is not trusting God. He is not being faithful to God, and you see that come through. And trusting God will make some very key practical things in your life. And we'll see some things in each chapter today. In chapter 25, we're going to see that trusting God should keep you from anger, vengeance, and taking matters into your own hands. You don't need to get angry. You don't need to seek vengeance. You don't need to take matters into your own hands because you can actually trust God. Chapter 25 begins with the important statement of the death of Samuel. Now, the last judge is gone. And now we are in the age of kings. And the first king, not going so great, but it's going to transition pretty soon here to David. And then you see this story where David, who really is guarding some of the men of this man, Nabal, he asks Nabal for some provisions. They go up to him, they are going to ask, but Nabal answers foolishly and harshly. He says, "Who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants these days who are breaking away from their masters." That's an allusion to the false accusations that Saul is making toward him. And then he basically says, "Am I going to take my stuff, my bread, my water, my meat that I have killed for my shearers, and give it to men who come from I do not know where?" And so that's his very rude response. And then they go back and report to David, and David says, "Get ready to fight, everybody. Every man strap on his sword." So this is rash from David, but it's also very rude from Nabal. But somebody overhears this and gets a message to Abigail, and she wisely goes to make peace with David and to pacify David. And so she puts together all the provisions that David had asked for and goes and brings them to David. And David, he is coming and going towards Nabal. And he is frustrated, so much so that he is saying he's going to go kill all of the men that belong to Nabal. But Abigail comes and she speaks wisely. She speaks winsomely. A lot we can learn from Abigail and how she goes about this situation. She says in verse 28, "Please forgive the trespass of your servant." She's apologizing on behalf of her husband. "For the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord is fighting the battles of the Lord, and evil shall not be found in you so long as you live." And then she goes on and even says that David has been appointed prince over Israel and asks him to remember her. And this reminds me almost of Rahab. She knows, "Israelites, you're going to win. Would you remember me? I want to be a part of you guys." Abigail saying, David, I know God's going to have favor on you. Please remember me. She also talks about how God restrained him in verse 26 from blood guilt and from saving with your own hand. And David will admit that. In verse 32, he blesses the Lord, and he says in verse 33, blessed be your discretion, and blessed be you who have kept me this day from blood guilt and working salvation with my own hand. And David then is vindicated because God ends up striking Nabal down. And then David says later, blessed be the Lord who has avenged the insult I received at the hand of Nabal. And so you see how God takes care of David yet again. And David chose, we don't need to be vengeful. We don't need to get angry. We don't need to take matters into our own hands. Think about your life today. Are you going to come across situations where you're tempted towards those things? Well, it's going to come back to the question, can you really trust God? Now, chapter 26 tells a very familiar story. You get a little deja vu reading this story because we've already seen once where David has an opportunity to kill Saul, but he does not, but he takes something to show he could have to vindicate himself. Very similar story. They go down into the camp. Abishai is saying, look, God's given me into your hand. He's even saying, let me pin him to the earth with one stroke of the spear. I mean, he's talking tough. Let me get him, David. One stroke. It won't take me two. I will just pin him to the ground. And David says to him, do not destroy him, for who can put out his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? So in chapter 25, we see kind of a negative example from David because he's going to take matters into his own hands, but God has mercy and stops him. Here we see a better example, but a very similar idea. He does not need to take matters into his own hands because he will not be guiltless if he does. But we also see God providing for David. God helps him. He takes the spear and the jar of water from Saul's head because, verse 12 says, a deep sleep from the Lord had fallen upon them. So even there's a divine nature to the sleep that is covering the crowd here that helps David. And then there's a similar conversation where David confronts Saul with what could have happened. And you see David, he says some interesting things there in verse 19. And he's asking, why are you pursuing me? And he says, now therefore, let my lord the king hear the words of his servant. If it is the Lord who has stirred you up against me, may he accept an offering. But if it is men, may they be cursed before the Lord, for they have driven me out this day, that I should have no share in the heritage of the Lord, saying, go serve other gods. That's interesting. David even says, the fact that you're driving me away is driving these men away from God. And just think at that point, God having a more centralized presence through the tabernacle, a place where David has gone, but then had to flee, and Saul has killed the priests. Saul is trying to drive David away from really the where the presence of God is manifest. And David does not want that. David wants to dwell in the presence of God. And even though Saul admits his sin, it seems that David doesn't buy it. Maybe a little bit of the whole fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice. David knows, I've heard you say this before, and it's not going to end that way. But David says to the king, the Lord rewards every man for his righteousness and his faithfulness, for the Lord gave you into my hand today, and I would not put out my hand against the Lord's anointed. That's something we can remember. The Lord rewards every man for his righteousness and his faithfulness. No matter how vile your enemy may be, never compromise your righteousness, never compromise your faithfulness, never compromise what God would call you to, never take matters into your own hand. You can really trust God. Now, some ways that we take matters into our own hand, I think in chapter 7, we see some things that aren't right. We see David going to the Philistines again, going to Gath. And now some of that is a result of what David said. You're driving me away from the presence of the Lord. But that's not an excuse for David to go and align himself with the people who are opposed to God. And that's where sometimes taking matters into your own hands, it won't instantly blow up into your face, because going to the Philistines actually stops Saul from seeking him. You see that in verse 4. So there's an extent to which his scheme works. And sometimes when you take matters into your own hands, it might work, apparently, to resolve the conflict. That doesn't mean it's right, though. And even then, Achish gives David the city of Ziklag, and David goes and he makes raids, but then he is not honest, because he is going up and raiding really the enemies of Israel, but then he'll come back and say, I raided the Negev of Judah, right? He is not being honest about what he is doing, and that is a problem. So that's another way we might want to take matters into our own hands, is not entirely being honest, and that is something we need to avoid. So I want you to think about situations in your life where this may be an issue today or this week, and I want you to resolve. I don't need to take matters into my own hands, whether that's through anger or vengeance or lies. I don't need to do any of those things, because I can really trust the Lord. Thanks for digging into God's Word with me today on Revival from the Bible. For more resources, check out revivalfromthebible.com. To learn more about Compass Bible Church Treasure Valley, go to compassbible.tv. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.